Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
What did the Patriots prove yesterday?
Nothing! Not a darn thing!
You know what? Maybe they proved something. That nobody's going 17 and up. The Bills were going to lose to somebody.
Chris Broussard.
Saying it very loudly for some reason.
Might be correct, though.
No, he was correct.
Yeah, the Bills turned the ball over. They finally lost the turnover battle for 26 games.
As somebody who has the occasional tendency to get loud, why do you do it there?
Yeah.
Like, nobody was arguing against that, buddy. Like,
Maybe they were. But I will say, I'm interested to see what New England looks like the rest of the year. Their schedule's very easy.
So is the Bills.
So is the Bills. But look, it's a very good win for them, and we mentioned it on pregame. Mm-hmm. That is a win that will buy that group in more than anything. And Vrabel's already very good at building that culture, building a team that is willing to run through a wall for each other. That's the kind of win that really galvanizes the group and proves the point as well. So, look, I said it to start the show, too. I think what's maybe most impressive for that for New England, they did something Miami couldn't do for years with Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mike McDaniel. You got one win on the Bills at home in a heat wave, but you never could beat them in Buffalo, and you couldn't really beat them when it matters. And now New England went up against an undefeated Bills team, and they did beat them. Albeit, it took winning the turnover battle, which is important, and the Bills have done that for years now.
But that's part of where the Broussard clip kind of resonates, is that it's still overall nothing. It's week five.
Right, and he said, what did that prove? No one's going to go undefeated? Yeah. And one team do that.
And we said the Bills were going to lose to somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, based off of the way that they played over the last 3 weeks, that was absolutely happening.
Yep.
And it was just this one.
Spoiler alert. I don't think, at least definitely for me, no players from that game are going to be on the primetime performers. I thought about putting Stephon Diggs on, but he'll be on the honorable mentions. That's where we start as we get to our Week 5 primetime performers for Week 5. But really, it's just overall this weekend because, as we have mentioned, we are going to do some other sports as well. The baseball playoffs are underway. Great so far. And I will start there with my first honorable mention. It is Stephon Diggs. I've seen a few tweets about him meeting the moment. He absolutely did. I will never not love that he is that kind of receiver. He's that kind of player. So it's why I like Baker Mayfield, too. They will build things up in their head. Diggs, you probably wanted your way out of Buffalo. It may be mutual. Let's not act like you're a spurned ex. But to that point, man, it brings out a hell of a player. 12 targets, 10 catches, 146 yards. He was the best receiver on the field by quite a margin.
Quite a margin, and it was something that we pointed out on the overtime show of it's fitting that he was the best receiver on the field when, you know, the Bills kind of had some struggles a little bit with their wideouts throughout the evening. Yeah, like you said, though, like, don't act like the Bills pushed you out and it was a solo act from them. Don't act like that. But it proves
but also kind of act like that because that's what.
But it proves the point.
Yeah.
That athletes will create whatever they need to get themselves going. Any sort of motivation that they need to put there, it could be the Shaquille O'Neal was the greatest at putting fake bulletin board material out there in order to prove something wrong. Shaq, what are you talking about?
Love it.
Love it. My first honorable mention is going to go to Mac Jones. Second time he's been on this so far, which is weird because he's not the starting quarterback.
He's had to play it like, though.
He's had to play like at 342 yards, two touchdowns, and a win against the Rams, keeping the banged up to oblivion 49ers atop the NFC West with a couple of very interesting contenders this year and challengers. The NFC West, super fun. And why? Mm. Oh, I've got a little spoiler alert of my own. There's another team from the West that is going to end up in this list.
Yep. My other honorable mentions, two quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, C.J. Stroud. They beat up really bad teams, but they both threw for four touchdowns. Prescott might actually be playing at an MVP level. He may not have enough wins to get the award.
No.
But he continues to be, I think, maybe the most underrated quarterback in the sport. I get he plays for Dallas. I love him. And he just puts up oogles and boogles of numbers on less than rosters. He doesn't even have CeeDee Lamb, and it kind of doesn't matter. CJ Stroud sort of needed this game. He beats up a really, really bad Texans team, or Ravens defense, but he kind of needed that. I think the Texans as a whole really needed that, because up to this point, really for the last year and some change, they just have not looked like that ascending team that everyone thought they would be. They're now playing second fiddle to teams like Jacksonville and Indianapolis in their own division, and it felt like Houston had lapped them pretty quickly once they got Stroud. It hasn't been proven true, but both those guys, big performances, both throw four touchdown passes. I think both, though, under 300 yards in those contests, beating up bad defenses.
My final honorable mention, I'm going to head to the diamond. Blake Snell, Dodgers pitcher, mm-hmm. six innings, one hit allowed in a dominant performance in Game 2 against the Phillies that puts the Dodgers one win away from a sweep against Philadelphia now as well.
Mm-hmm.
I will be returning to the diamond a decent amount for my primetime performers. I figured I'd at least get the honorable mention out mm-hmm. of the way there. But yeah, Blake Snell, incredible game from him. Nine strikeouts, no earned runs, one hit allowed. He did walk four players. That's why he's in the honorable mentions portion of mm-hmm. this. But that survived.
Yeah. I've got two honorable mentions left, both with baseball. One I won't spend too much time on because I know he's on your list, so we'll let you kind of mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about that. But first up, Mariner second baseman Jorge Polanco. Two home runs off of Tarik Skubal in their 3-2 win over Detroit on Sunday.
That series Mariners, is 1-1.
I mean, that series is 1-1, and it's Skubal who...
It's Skubal, yeah.
Him and Paul Skeens, there's a few other names mentioned in there, but are two of the... just straight-up unhittable pitchers. And for a guy in one game to get two off of him and play a massive role in getting that win, great for them. You'd think it's going to be someone like Cal Raleigh or what have you. Polanco, though, great performance for him. And then the other one, Jays pitcher Treya Savage, 11 strikeouts, no hits allowed, just one walk in, just over five innings played. Also on Sunday, Jays do get that 13-7 win over
Spoiler
the Yankees.
Spoiler alert, he mm-hmm. is a lot higher than where you put him.
Yeah, so we'll start with your number five now with the honorable mentions all wrapped up.
So I'm going to go to college football, actually, for this one, for number five.
Oh, very nice.
And that's UCLA quarterback Nico Amalava. 166 yards, two touchdowns passing, 128 yards on the ground, three touchdowns rushing in UCLA's first win of the season over number seven Penn State. This program needed that win. It is becoming a rough sledding for Deshaun Foster and UCLA, but then it turns and flips the other side. James Franklin, just on the heels mm-hmm. of losing another game to a top 25 opponent, loses to a winless team.
And with that now, the preseason number one and number two teams are both out of the top 25, Texas, after losing to Florida. And then, as you mentioned there, Penn State dropping two in a row, Oregon at home, and then UCLA on the road. I still don't understand how they lost that game. And they were losing most of the game. It wasn't even like it was a last-second comeback. UCLA dominated offense. Nico Amalava was a huge reason why. Up to this point, his transfer out of Tennessee looks to be a disaster, but that was a great game.
That game was not one of them, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So number five for you, Nico Amalava. For me, number five, Nick Benito, outside linebacker for the Denver Broncos. Some of the names on this list are going to start turning into more just how their season has gone, and they continue to push it. 2.5 sacks against the Eagles. He's got 7 already. He's on pace for 24 sacks. The league record is 22.5 in a season, held by Michael Strahan and TJ Watt, respectively. He is just transformed into one of the best pass rushers in the game. His pressure rate is exceeding almost everybody. He is a major reason why that defense in Denver is such a problem for everyone to deal with. while I don't think their offense is anything to write home about, that defense is a calling card. And they may be on the run here of having two straight players, different players, winning Defensive Player of the Year. Patrick Surtain does last year. I think Nick Benito should be the favorite to win it this year.
Defensive star players. I'm starving. I'm also actually hungry. Number four, we go back to the diamond. And we go to Toronto and the Yankees. No, it's not Yusevich. Not yet. It's the Placata. Vlad Guerrero Jr., 3 of 5, 4 RBIs, the grand slam in the fourth inning. A dominant day by the Blue Jays, at least a dominant 5 innings, is capped off in the fourth when Vladdy Jr. goes yard, second level on that grand slam. No doubter type thing. I remember I was in the studio watching the replay of it. I'm showing Zach the pause of, like, who are the fans behind the plate that recognize it first?
Oh, that was fun, yeah.
But it was one of those, like, ball go dong. It's a no doubter. And again, up to the second level in the ballpark, and I'm like, yep, no. Vladdy Guerrero Jr., get him on the primetime performers. That hit alone does it, but he's been so efficient throughout already the weekend against the Yankees.
Number four for me, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. Again, kind of the same vein as Nick Benito. I think it's going to be him and Puka Nacua right now are the favorites to win the Offensive Player of the Year. Only has 66 rushing yards, 3 scores, though. He has been a major factor in why the Colts have just been able to blow out some of these bad teams they've been able to play. And look, I mean, the Taylor situation's been so weird. It seems like we've been dancing around. He's been great. Then they've got stuff going on in the offseason with his contract, what have you. Then he's dealt with injuries. Now this year, it seems like he's right back to where he was in terms of the top-tier echelon of running backs in the NFL. He's a bulldozer. He's their best player on offense, and he's proving it again. Again, just 66 yards, but 3 touchdowns, and they're able to just kind of run away from the Raiders early. Geno Smith, by the way. Boy, we talk about QB renaissances, and he maybe started it. It's in a dark age, though, for Geno Smith. He is playing some bad, bad football right now.
The Seahawks have done it again, unloaded a quarterback when they absolutely needed to. I wonder what Sam Darnold's crash out's going to look like.
It's historic at this point.
Speaking of Sam Darnold, though, what a way to get to number 3 on the primetime performers list, because Zach and I are going to be in lockstep with these following two. For number 3 and number 2, but number 3 is the entirety of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Seattle Seahawks football game.
Well, here, look, ultimately, it started off perfect. The uniforms.
Yes.
You're going back to the 70s, the aesthetic is perfect, and then the game was incredible. And it's I didn't want to, because ultimately, if I was just picking players from this game, most of the list would be that game. It would be Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Emeka Ibuka, Jackson Smith and Jigba. All right, let's find a fifth guy. We're not going to do that. I mean,
we're not clogging the list with one game.
But it was an unbelievable game. It was tight the whole way. It was blow for blow. It's that old school QB battle, that QB duel that you think of. And I like that it was two guys that maybe you wouldn't expect. It's the two maybe lost guys from the 2018 draft class. Lamar and Allen have won their MVPs, their stars of the league, where Baker and Darnold have taken the road less traveled. They've had to go through different stops. They've had to been beaten down and rise again. And they both were electric. I would argue, really up until Darnold throws that pick right at the end of the game, it was for both guys their best games as pros. They were both flirting around 80% completion percentage. They're throwing deep balls. Toe for toe, throw for throw. It was incredible to watch, and I will not be surprised if these two teams meet again in the playoffs. It's a shame one of them had to lose.
That's exactly what we were saying. And the biggest highlight from that game, though, was you screaming at Red Zone to put that game back on, take us back to God's country, because
Pacific Northwest. Why am I watching Arizona-Tennessee? Simply could not figure that out. Get me off the triple box. Get me back to the Pacific Northwest.
It's still funny now. That's what I loved about it.
Because I still can't understand. And again, we don't have volume on, so they're probably like, they're in a break. We'll get you back here in a second. But I'd rather watch those commercials. The commercials have probably been electric.
Oh, my God.
It was a wonderful game.
Still hilarious. We move on to number 2 here. Rico Dowdle, Carolina running back. 23 carries, 206 rushing yards, 28 receiving yards tacked onto it, as well as a rushing touchdown. And no, it's been it was a fantastic day here for the Carolina running back at number two here for me on the primetime players.
And I also go Rico Dowdle as well. Great for him to get that, especially with, you know, he has to fill in for an injury. You ultimately don't have, you know, a Carolina team that is necessarily all that good, and they're down 17-0. And Dowdle, funny enough, at running back, is the guy to get them going. He's got a few great moments in that game. Also, should mention, Eric Collins, who's the play-by-play guy for the Charlotte Hornets, is the play-by-play guy for that game. Phenomenal.
Hey,
if you get a chance to listen to those highlights, please do it. It's so much fun.
Everyone's like, oh, that was so corny. That man for 82 games has to generate excitement about the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, let the man live.
Let the man cook in a game that, yeah, it's two bad teams playing each other, but you know what? He made it exciting because the game ended up exciting.
Even the Jalen Waddle touchdown, right. He made exciting, and he's clearly rooting for the Carolina team.
He's
didn't matter.
But he still made sure to stay unbiased in it as well. Mm-hmm. It's that Carolina in the second half makes the plays. So that excitement's going to be generated even by a neutral broadcaster no matter what.
Yeah.
So that was perfect there. But Dowdle was fantastic.
Yeah, so.
Like, are you kidding me?
Bucks Seahawks at 3, and Rico Dowdle at 2 for both of us. Also, real quick, do want to mention for Bucks Seahawks as well, because I didn't get to mention the receivers too much, but both Emeka Ibuka, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, both over 100 yards, both dominant. Incredible performance by both those two, who are very quickly becoming stars in this league.
Ohio State receivers, it's
just
a factory.
Just draft them. Number one.
Number one, I hinted at it. It's Trey Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Five and a third, innings pitched. Sets the franchise record in postseason play for strikeouts in a game with 11. No earned runs. No hits. Nobody got on base with a hit of theirs. He walks one person. Near perfect baseball from a guy who was playing in single A to start the year. Our own Pat Malacaro was on Sports Talk Saturday with me and Joe Cali. He had mentioned Trey Savage and how important his role is going to be as the game two pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Brings up the fact that it's a single A guy to start the year. And he storms through double A, through the Bisons, to playing in Toronto in the biggest moment. And if there's the one moment, the one Yankees batter, he calls a timeout. Savage stands there, not flinching a muscle. He wants to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. Great performance by him.
It was an aura-farming moment because what happens? Swing and miss, strike three.
Mm-hmm.
For the first out. Oh, that's just... That is sports right there. Crowd roaring immediately on it. And it's like, oh, that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kids call aura-farming. And no, Savage was incredible in this, and I'd imagine now, because of the fact that they pull him after going through five deep and
throws 78
sixth,
pitches, yeah.
He only throws 78 pitches. If they need him in game five, they can go to him.
Let's see if there's even a game
five. I hope that that's not what's happening, but if it's the case, I'll spend whatever buku bucks I have to get to Toronto for that one.
Yeah. Yankees Blue Jays tonight at 8. Yankees looking to avoid the sweep as they are back home in the Bronx. Again, that game getting going at 8. Mariners Tigers also will get the day started at 4. Number one for me, also with the Blue Jays, I hinted at a little bit as well. I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on here. Finally a Toronto star player, acts like a star player in the biggest moments. He's 6-for-9 through 2 games. He's got 2 home runs, the first one coming at his first at-bat of the series, the second being that monster grand slam you talked about. This is also a player that, to start this year, you kind of didn't know where you were going to go with him if you were the Blue Jays. The feeling was they were not going to get the contract extension done. Then they are able to get it happening. He starts a little bit slow, and then he explodes as the year goes on. He's become a very good contact hitter as well as the power, of course. And in part, he's on this list also, yeah, because it's finally a Toronto player showing up in the biggest moments. Maple Leafs fans have been dealing with that for years of just great in the regular season, bad in the playoffs. Guerrero, exceptional so far in the playoffs. And again, looking for the sweep tonight in the Bronx. Be amazing for the Blue Jays if they can get that done. I didn't know how they would match up against either the Yankees or the Red Sox, especially with how the Yankees were playing towards the end of the year. Turns out they match incredibly well. The bats have been on fire, led by Guerrero.
And obviously it's not done yet, but I did have a much better feeling about facing the Yankees than the Red Sox.
Red Sox seem to straight up have their number.
As the resident Jays supporter in the station. Oh, no, no. Pat first. Pat.
Yes.
Pat's the resident Jays supporter. As the runner-up to that at the station. Yeah. I was much more optimistic about them facing the Yankees than the Red Sox. It's not done yet, though. They need to close it up. And again, if it gets to five, well, you got my number one up there on the primetime players list. I do like that. It's a Toronto Blue Jays player, though, for both of us here on primetime players at number one. Trey Yousevich and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Give them your flowers.
So good.
Let's go.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to some of your calls after a quick timeout. We'll also get into some hockey talk as well. The season starts tonight at 5, Chicago at the Florida Panthers as they usher in their second straight cup-winning season. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
When you blitz, first thing you want to make sure is that whatever situation that blitz is precise in what we're doing. And then secondly, it's whatever we're trying to accomplish in that blitz, whoever we're trying to target, whatever players we're getting matched up on, we want to see some nastiness and some blitzers that win. In a sense, trying to create chaos, not only in the run game, but in the pass game.
That is a Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich talking about blitzes, right? Want to cause chaos. Bills blitz percentage this year, 25.2%. Middle of the pack?
It needs to get home, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Now, the times they've brought blitzes, it's also middle of the pack, 40%. Or, 40 times. They're not blitzing a ton. I will say the teams that are leading the way, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Denver, Minnesota, Giants, Dolphins, Detroit. Denver's defense, man. Oh, man.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Denver's defense has been fun. As a matter of fact, there was a play that was a blitz late in that game against Philadelphia where I do believe it was from the corner on the defensive left, offensive right.
They brought two guys.
One guy from the edge on the offense's left immediately affects Hurts to where he has to roll out. But the far side blitz, what turns into the away side now, he fights through it all and gets the sack on Jalen Hurts. It was a beautifully designed blitz, but also the effort that has to get there, you have to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have players that are covering enough to complement it. And that's been part of the Bills' problem as of late is I do know that Trey White's trying to make sure he's not getting cooked deep. But if he's playing off when the Bills are sending a blitz, quarterback, if a quarterback knows he's hot, he's throwing that football.
Yeah, and you even talk about like just playing off ball too. I mean, it's even going to the safeties, Taylor Rapp.
He's like 20, he's off
the screen. Yeah, and it's where you wonder, is that the scheme issue? Is it a Babbage issue?
Yep.
Or is that more, look guys, the talent we have, we do not have the high-end athletes to make up for.
We need to compensate.
If we're beat deep, so we're going to end up playing a lot of the bend, don't break defense. The problem is, and this is where I'll agree with a lot of Bills fans, guys, we've been there and done that for far too long. It has gotten you killed in the playoffs. We'll see if getting some of these guys helps them out. Michael Hoyt, with how versatile he is as a defender, may help them, especially on the line, and might put them more into a situation where Nick Bosa is not out there so much, or excuse me, Joey Bosa is not out there so much on downs. He really shouldn't be. Him in run defensive situations, it's constantly a bad thing.
At the very least, it's bad enough of a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's bad enough of a thing. Yeah.
Like, he hasn't been gashed for every run play that the Bills have had against him this year.
No.
But it's been bad enough of a thing for him against the run in particular.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's get back to the calls. Chris has been waiting patiently. Chris, how are we doing today?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I think the one reason I think this team will never win a Super Bowl is Brandon Bean. Now, did you guys see the third down? Like, before Trevor Lawrence's fumble on fourth and goal, did you guys see the third down play? Do you remember it by any chance?
I was not able to watch that one live. I saw it end up afterwards, but fill us in.
So it was their safety that they drafted in the fourth round came flying from the middle of the field and knocked Lawrence out at the 1 yard line. Like, he was a walking touchdown and came flying over. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because Javon Holland signed a $15 million a year deal with the Giants. Now, where do you find that $15 million? Well, you don't give Josh Palmer $12 million because you draft a receiver. You don't give Curtis Samuel $8 million because you draft a receiver, and then you don't have to pay Elijah Moore $2.5 million or whatever he's getting. So it's a double whammy for this team, is that when wide receiver is the second most valuable position in terms of annual contracts, so you're incentivized to draft receivers and often because they're the cheapest form behind a rookie quarterback. So now we have to waste 7 draft picks on defensive players that happen not to be good. So if you just draft wide receivers early and then sign Javon Holland for $15 million, I think this team looks a lot different, and we're not complaining about that they don't have options deep and whatever, what have you. So that's the biggest problem. And until Brandon Bean addresses those issues and changes philosophy, I don't think his team is ever going to win a Super Bowl. Hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Chris, thanks for the call. I can understand that feeling, and that's something I go back and forth with. Like, they needed to address their defense, in part because of misses already made on the defensive side of the ball in the draft. I will say also with their offensive picks, I like Keon Coleman. I think there is potential there. I think there is a potential breakout there. I also don't know based on how they use him. They seem to want to go to that jump ball as like their plan A at times. And it's just simply not. I'm not saying I wasn't a Xavier Worthy guy either. I was an Anai Mitchell guy, and he has boneheaded plays, it seems, every week until they eventually benched him. So I'm not, you know, banging the drum that my draft picks or draft ideas were better. But that also might be the way that it should go in the NFL, is that you go higher-end draft picks on offense when you have that superstar quarterback that will get the most out of them likely. And then on defense, you have your defensive head coach identify the guys in free agency that he wants. It worked really well for the Bills with Palmer with Poyer and Hyde. Those guys are free agent acquisitions, and they get the most out of them rather than trying to draft these guys and develop them slowly. Maybe for McDermott, it really is just bringing in ready-made players who can run his defense. That's where we're all getting excited about Michael Hoyt and Bosa coming in. Maybe that is where they do have to go, is to change up their philosophy. And we're going to draft young on offense, and we're going to fill in the holes and fill in the needs with defense. And we're going to get a little bit, not cheaper on offense ultimately, but expensive in a different way.
And there is one defense of this, of like what's going on with the Bills and how the roster construction is. In free agency, you're not going to be able to do much anymore. You are kind of hamstrung by a quarterback contract.
So your identifications had to be of the bargain bin variety, typically.
Mm-hmm.
But you also still need to properly identify them too. For consecutive years, Mike Edwards, Derek Forrest, they signed safeties that are not on the roster to start their seasons.
Yeah, I mean, complete disappointments.
Completely non-factors to the team. So have you tried to add some safety depth? Yes. Your attempts have not beat out DeMar Hamlin as the third safety on this team. You bring back Tre'Davious White. You sign Dane Jackson as your veteran additions instead of looking for somebody outside the organization that hasn't played here. I don't know how I felt about that. When it comes to the drafting, though, that's the part. You need to hit on those, and you need to start making your hits. I'm going to slightly disagree with you on, like, like make the first or second round pick. Like, they should be offense things.
Right.
This team doesn't have a defensive superstar.
No,
they
and
do not.
That's their biggest issue is that on defense, there is no blue chip player. Not even saying Josh Allen player. There's no blue chip player. The guys you've signed to contract extensions like Rousseau and Oliver and Bernard. But Bernard might be the one because he's got an eye for the ball, and it seems like whenever there's a turnover, he's right there. But Rousseau, up until Sunday night, was a ghost.
And even then, that first drive is dominant by him. He smatters in a couple more tackles throughout the evening, but
it wasn't like
really
it was an Ed Oliver performance in week one.
Correct. His name was not all over the box score. It was there every now and then. I just look at this defense and I'm not gonna tell anyone how they need to act at this point, but I don't need everyone going into the pit of misery after week five. After your first loss. That's the one thing I'm trying to keep people from doing. Like, we have a long year. We have to at least try to stay sane.
No.
But the fact that one loss has already sent everybody into the, they're never winning a Super Bowl with this group. Look, we have to find out the hard way anyway. That's the thing. We all have to find this out the hard way, and we have to find out together. Let's at least try to keep our sanity before we get to that point.
It is something, though, and it's something. I mean, even if they win a Super Bowl this year, I think it's still going to be fair criticism of the talent acquisition over the last few years has been questionable at best. The drafting strategies have been interesting, to say the least. And yeah, you're kind of seeing ceilings being hit way before maybe they should have been. Rousseau comes in as a guy that maybe should have been. I know Nate Geary's talked a lot about this too. Maybe pushed inside more to the D tackle where he was dominant at Miami. They really don't do that all that much. He's kind of a pure edge rusher in Buffalo.
It's because they don't have the players to do that.
Yeah, they don't have the players to do it because, you know, the guy they get in Age Epinesa is having a good year this year, but he's probably going to end up with his seasonal like 6-7 sacks. Like, that's kind of where he hangs out. He's probably having a good run now.
His bigger contributions come from pass deflections on pressures.
Mm-hmm.
He does know how to get his hand in the way. There's the play that looked like initially it was a one-hopper on May scrambling out to the left. No, AJ gets his hand on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does have something that he brings to the table. But you have Javon Solomon and Landon Jackson giving me nothing. I can't say less than nothing. But nothing.
803-0550, the number to call. Mark is up next. Mark, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. You're talking about the defense. Let's talk about Brandon being on the offense. I mean, Hardy, Sherfield, bringing in Palmer, Moore.
Samuel.
Dropping back to draft your wide receiver in the second round and only having 4 years of control versus 5 years, to me, it just makes no sense. If Keon Coleman is going to be the guy, you're saving yourself $20 or $30 million in that fifth year of what the salaries are going to be for wide receivers, and why you would drop back and get the guy that you could have picked one pick earlier and gotten an extra year. I mean, we talk about Brandon Bean, you know, he's gotten some very good picks, you know, Benford, you know, certain guys in the later rounds. But his free agent acquisitions, can you name one that's been good?
It's been a long time, Mark. I mean, it's been a long time. Thank you for the call.
Shaq Thompson's been pretty good. But that's also me stretching it.
Yeah,
just to answer your question.
No,
I'm not trying to like push back on the call on that one, but like I'm just trying to find an answer for him real quick.
It's been a long time. It might be Shaq Thompson. It might be Bosa. Bosa's been one of the better ones.
It might be Michael Hoyt.
Hoyt, we'll see.
We'll see.
But again, like all those are we'll see. And no, I think it's fair criticism. This is why I don't move off from Sunday night. I think too much criticism is pointed at McDermott and not enough at Bean.
Now, that is true.
I heard yesterday on the Extra Point Show when Sal was on taking some calls, I heard some people complaining the media needs to ask tougher questions. I will never understand that. What do you think is going to change outside of relationships get strained? Like it Bean all of a sudden getting a hard question is not going to have him sitting there around the dinner table with his family going, you know what, guys? I need to change. I think that's right. That's not going to happen. They're also irritated internally. You see it with the Sabres. Adams gets tough questions, and all you really get is just people kind of, either underhanded comments to each other or just outright vitriol towards each other. It doesn't really change much.
Yeah, it doesn't change much.
I think Bean does deserve a lot of criticism, especially, and this is not totally, but, he came on the station and was angry and wanted to go back to a pick in 2018 is the reason why, essentially, don't criticize me because you did last time and look what happened. Well, no, I mean, it's pre-COVID, man. Things have changed. The world is a radically different place. The last time you, quote-unquote, hit on a guy since 2019.
Not to mention it's one guy.
Yeah.
It's the guy.
Yes, it's the most important.
It's the guy, but it's one guy.
Since 2019, they've drafted one Pro Bowler, albeit some of their offensive linemen should probably garner some praise, Osiris Torrance and Spencer Brown. And I've mentioned Terrell Bernard is probably one of the more underrated linebackers in football. But up to this point, since 2019, their only Pro Bowler is James Cook. And that's a hit. And it's Pro Bowls, right? It's a popularity contest. But your team's winning 11 to 13 games every year, and you can't convince America that some of these players are worth a Pro Bowl nod?
You mentioned it's a popularity contest. It's also a lower bar to get.
It's an incredible
lower bar to get. Tyler Huntley has a Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's right. He does.
So while I guess that kind of like flies in the face of your argument here, it's also to support it. Because if Tyler Huntley can get a Pro Bowl, why are some Bills players not?
Yeah, and it's just and Mark's call was more free agency. Mine is a total talent acquisition that
I'm still going to be harder on the draft, not free agency, because like I said, you are dealing with budgets at this point. The draft, everybody gets paid what they're selected at. In free agency, you do have to be better though. Josh Palmer is getting what, $10 million a year right now, and he's got two catches a game.
Yeah, John Brown, Cole Beasley, free agent acquisitions are a long time ago.
And
now it seems like every year they're adding a receiver that kind of doesn't do anything.
But they also were able to throw money at Brown and Beasley.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were able to throw money at the caliber of those types of players because they did not have to pay Allen yet. That is the harder part of the free agency portion. I will acknowledge that. But Samuel was a healthy scratch to start the year. Palmer is looking like just a guy. So you do have to be better if you're going to spend double-digit millions per season on a player. But you're not going to get the Hydes, the Poyers, the Brown and Beasleys anymore. You're paying Josh Allen. But drafting, that stays the same every year. You are picking in the same range because the Bills do not lose frequently.
No, they're a very consistent team. Almost frustratingly.
Almost, and this is in one of those moments. You don't have draft board leverage, but you have to get better at hitting where you are because picking at 30 doesn't stop you from not taking a Max Crosby like the Raiders did in the fourth round.
And the Bills may have hit on guys like Deion Walker and Jackson Hawes. Those look like hits from their draft position.
Well, what I'm saying is there's still not a star player. Trent McDuffie has taken the
second round.
First round.
Yeah, late first round.
Right before the Bills end up taking Kyrie Elam. So there is something to it of hit from where you are hitting from. You traded up for TJ Sanders. He needs to show you more. Like day one and day two, you have to be better. Day three, he's great. Consistently.
But it's that day one and day two. It's been a struggle for a few years now. And you're now what's nice, though, you're finally seeing guys like Kincaid and Torrence.
They're coming into their own.
Those look like hits. 2023, that might be a hit of a draft with those first two picks.
But if you have drafts where you don't end up with hits or you're consistently missing on second rounders or early picks, it catches up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it catches up to them.
And you're seeing it also, too, with teams like, well, Kansas City, who are struggling talent-wise, although they have the fun pieces like Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, so it doesn't look as painful. But they don't look like the same team from the last few years, in part because they also keep drafting late, and they're not hitting every single pick like
Tyquan
they have been.
Tyquan Thornton, though, gets waived by the Patriots, and he's kind of showing up early on with the Chiefs, too.
Trade for Rashee Rice, or for Rashid. Shaheed, that might be fun. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get some Sabres talk in right at the end here. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We've got some news from practice. We'll get to you on the other side. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Oh, yeah.
NHL gets back going tonight.
You want to get... Like I feel this in the haunches. Leave that up for a sec there, Dan. Come on, baby. Let's get that. If you're not in your car at 5 o'clock today, you'll be able to hear this. Oh, come on, NHL. Why you got to be doing this at 5?
Three games tonight. First one, Florida hosting the Blackhawks at 5. 8 p.m., Rangers host the Penguins. And then at 10:30, Kings hosting the Avalanche. Sabres getting going on Thursday. We do have some practice notes from today. Alexander Georgiev, not out at practice. Colton Ellis, who they claimed off of waivers yesterday, appears to have some pretty good AHL numbers. I did see some Blues fans kind of annoyed that they lost him.
Yes.
And the signs from practice pointing to Georgiev's being...
He's probably going to get waived.
Yeah,
is my speculation.
And they're going to go into the season, for right now, Lyon and maybe Ellis as his backup.
It will be Ellis' backup.
Yeah, like, waiting for UPL to come back. He's week to week. We'll see how long that actually is.
So, honestly, the other weird theory I could have on this is, like, what if Georgiev is injured?
Oh, I mean, honestly, though, like, that absolutely is still a possibility.
But,
that absolutely could be true.
You know how I said, like, nothing against Bishop and Rapp, that they're not Hyde and Poyer?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a little bit more unfair on this one. Everything against what I saw from Alexander Georgiev, good that the Sabres brought in Colton Ellis. I was terrified that he would even have to play one game for this team in the regular season. Not only did I leave not impressed, I left fearful of the backup netminder at that point. So
their schedule was nice, that as long as Lyon didn't pick up an injury or play so badly you had to go to a backup that they wouldn't maybe necessarily have to do so. But it just left you with no good feelings. And weirdly enough, a Sabres preseason that wasn't bad by any means. Georgiev is maybe the worst part of that. Also should be noted, Owen Power back on the ice today, though, in a non-contact jersey. We'll see how fast they can get him back. Again, the Sabres do start their season Thursday at home against the New York Rangers. Three games tonight in the NHL. Mentioned there, Panthers, Blackhawks, Rangers, Penguins, Kings, Avalanche. And then over in baseball, we've got Mariners, Tigers just after 4. And then at 8, maybe the game of the night.
Let's go.
Blue Jays looking for the sweep of the New York Yankees. That game is in New York, though. However, the Jays, as we've mentioned with our primetime performers, have been playing incredible in these first two games. That's going to do it for us. You've been listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. For more Sabres talk, coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.